You can be seated. I still would like to wake up in the morning and there they are in my bedroom worshiping. Wouldn't that just be awesome? The alarm goes off at 5. I was born at 5:26 a.m. And so that's kind of the personal start to my day when I'm on a normal schedule. So I imagine at 5:26 a.m. I wake up and there's Jonathan in the full band. You know.
Have you ever met musicians?
No, I know. That's why it's a miraculous thing. Because you wouldn't be there at 5 in the morning, but a man can dream. Are you good this morning? So today is one of those days that you're going to need to actively participate in the Word. And I say that just kind of off the cuff. It's actually something we're supposed to do every Sunday when we're with the Word. But this is not a player, spectator kind of sport today. We're all players today. All right? And I'm going to give you a job, an assignment, and it's really an easy one. All I want you to do is pay attention to what the Lord is stirring in you and be obedient to Him today. You go, yeah, that's real easy, Dave. But I just want you to be there. I want you to be there. You know, we're living in a time where we need not only to walk as one in the body of Christ, but we need to be ready to obey like never before. You know, it was a month ago today that there was a Supreme Court decision that just kind of etched a deeper line. It didn't change it just etched a deeper line of where we've been headed. And we need to know how to respond to that. I mean, this last month, it was amazing to me. I kept thinking of Proverbs 14. You know, righteousness exalts a nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. It just means sin will make people miserable. It means it diminishes the tribe. That's what it means. It diminishes what God wants to do through a nation. And we've been watching the whole sexual rights thing. And then right around that time, the gender rights thing. I mean, we're dealing with stuff that God created here. And this last week, as I was watching the news, I saw, you know, now we're dealing again with this another round of death rights, of choosing when we want to die, how we want to die. And it was interesting reading the little definition. It was... they were talking about, it was defined as an entitled to commit suicide. And see, we live in a society that's driven by rights and entitlements. And we have to realize that we're living in a time where God wants to do something through you and me. Like, I'm so glad I was born now. Because we're going to get to watch our all-powerful God do a work like we could only dream. And here's the thing, we don't just stand by like this and watch him do it. He says, come on, because he does it through these little jars of clay. That's how he does it. But we're living in a time where I think of this scripture in the book of Judges. It's in twice, but this is how the book of Judges ends. Take a look at this verse in Judges. In those days, there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes. When Jesus is not king, everybody does what is right in their own eyes. And look at this scripture in Proverbs. I like this one as well. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. And there's so many things out there. Well, see, it just seems right. It's just the right, I mean, it's just the right thing to do. But it leads to death. And as his followers, we are supposed to be representing him in the world. And you know, Pastor Steve has talked about this so well, about it's our role to be full of love and full of truth. It's not either or. And we're supposed to be his representatives. I realized a long time ago, and I hope you have too, and if not, maybe today this is a key thing for you. I know my opinion doesn't really matter. Yeah. I'm a follower of Jesus, which means I'm his ambassador, so every day in what I'm doing, I'm supposed to represent him. Ambassadors represent somebody else. So my opinion really doesn't matter. What matters is, do I have his dwelling within me? And at any given moment, I can share that when called upon to do so. We are supposed to judge. You know, America's changed from John 3:16 as the favorite verse to Matthew 7:1, judge not. But as we've been taught here, that means the kind of judging that condemns somebody to hell. We don't have the ability nor the authority to do that. Only God has the knowledge and authority and power to do that. We are not to judge somebody to hell. But the Bible also says those who are spiritual judge all things. The word there means discern. We're to discern all things. And the reality is Jesus, Paul, the early church, they judged two things. One is morality, right and wrong. They did that. If you read Paul's letter, he's very clear. No, this is sin. This is adultery. And the second thing is doctrine, truth and error. And those are things that we need to be prepared to walk in. But where the clash here comes is this love, truth thing with rights and everybody's entitlements. Are we supposed to be involved in speaking righteously? Of course we are. But today, that's not what I'm talking about. Today, I'm talking about personal rights. And we've gotten stuck in this place where we think stuff is owed to us, whether by God, society, or other people. I learned a long time ago as a young missionary that the only right I deserve, earned, is to spend an eternity in hell away from God. But because of what Jesus has graciously done for me, I don't have to worry about that anymore. So that means when I woke up this morning and there's Cheryl by my side, the reality is that's a gift. The fact that I could get up and go, and that's a gift. I'm not entitled to it. It's a gift. I should have been wiped out because of my sin a long time ago. I am not entitled to squat. But see, if we don't think like kingdom citizens like that, we're going to get in trouble. And what happens then, our emotions get involved and our thinking gets involved and the pressure of what people, I'm going to say this or not say this or do this. And folks, we need to be on target today. We need to be on target in the things that we do, the things we say, because the doings and sayings of our life are supposed to reflect our King. But oftentimes there's things that get in the way. Let me ask you this question. Are you free to follow Jesus in obedience? Because what if he asks you to say something to somebody? What if he asks you to do something for somebody? I want you to look at this question. Are you free to follow Jesus in obedience? And if not, why not? I want to give us a rudder today to set our focus so we can live in the light, we can live our days to the full for the glory of God. But it's going to be hard. This is going to be one of those messages where you're going to wince. For some, it's going to be a wake-up call. Oh my gosh, I didn't see that. For others of you, it will be the very wings that will get you to the place where God's wanted you to be. And it all depends on how you respond. So I want you to look with me at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2, Pastor Steve did a great job speaking on this portion, and so I'm not going to go there, but you can go back to May 31st and you can get that DVD or CD and or go online and listen to that. And he breaks down this portion that we're looking at in a wonderful way, so there's no need for me to repeat that. But let's just take a look at this portion. Have this mind or attitude among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of God the Father. Have this mind in you. Have this attitude. He did not grasp onto Godhood. Like there wasn't this thing in heaven where the Father was saying, no, son, I'm asking you to go. No. Could you imagine Jesus responding that way? No, I don't want to go. Son, it says he didn't grasp onto his Godhood. Imagine with me the one who spoke light. Let there be light, and there was light, the Bible says. And by the way, if you look at Genesis, that's before the sun and moon were even created. The one who spoke things into existence can't even hold his head up when he's in the manger. The humility of God. It's an amazing thing. And it says he didn't grasp onto Godhood. He didn't hang on. He didn't cling like this. Put your hand in front of you like this. This is the grasping position, and then I want you to go like this. This is the palms up position. Today I want us to pay attention. What are we grasping onto? Where do we need to go palms up here before the Lord? He did not grasp, but it says he emptied himself. He relinquished his rights, and he became obedient even to the point of death on a cross. Jesus' whole desire was to glorify his Father by being obedient to him. Look what John reminds us of here in John 5:19. Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise." See, being free to follow Jesus in obedience means that there's nothing that hinders you from being available to obey God. Nothing. And so in your life, what might that be? Where is that? Where is that place? Where are you grasping? And after this message today, one of the things you'll be able to really easily do is kind of take a scan of your life and you'll realize, wow, that's why these things are happening. You'll be able to do some new math. Because God's been trying to pull stuff out of you or pull stuff maybe away from you to get your palm like this, and you've been thinking it's the devil. So you've been rebuking the devil. And it's really been God trying to say, no, that's me. Hello, put your glasses on. I'm trying to pull this out of you. I'm trying to get your hand to be like this. And we need to learn to pay attention to that. Now, why does God have us relinquish our rights? Jesus did it. Why? Let me just show you this. Here in verses 9 to 11, there's these three things. You can put that next slide up. That he has the name above every name. Now, I want you to think of these three things through looking first at you, secondly at others, and thirdly at God. And in the day that we're living in, we're either going to get caught up in all of this stuff going on, or we're going to keep our eyes on the ball. And we're going to relinquish our rights. We are not going to grasp, so that in our lives first, we can say, okay, heart check here. Is his name really above every name in my life? Every person, everything, every position, every opinion. Is his name above everything else in my life? And as we look at others, the core thing, of course we want people to think biblically. Of course, because we know the blessing of God. But the core thing is, we want to see people come to a saving knowledge of Jesus so that freely from their hearts, their knee will bow and their tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Keep your eye on that ball. And then thirdly, we want to see God glorified. I like what Leith Anderson says about the glory of God. He says, the glory of God is enhancing the reputation of God in the eyes of another. God doesn't need to be enhanced, but oftentimes as his followers, we're not revealing who he really is. Glorifying God is that when you're with a person that is opposed to the way you think, have you so won their hearts that they'll see God in you? You may leave with different opinions. That maybe didn't get closer, but you have to realize, this is, again, as a young man about 19, 20 years of age, somewhere in there, as a missionary, in my learnings, one of the cool things, I don't remember even who said it to me, but it made a mark. And they said this, do you understand that with every lost person you speak to, you have an ally in their spirit because their spirit was made to contain the Holy Spirit? So you have to realize when you're speaking to them, the Holy Spirit will move in them, will convict them, will speak to them. And so don't be afraid when you come across, I don't care what they're doing. I don't care what sin or what bondage they're in. The reality is they have been made by our Creator to have the Spirit of God live in them so they can declare Jesus Christ as Lord. Work with that. Allow God to do a work there in their lives. Are you with me? So, the problem that we often run into is this area of rights. What hinders us from being able to be free to follow Jesus in obedience is we're clinging on to rights. Now, this is where the wincing begins. All right, I'm going to give you about a dozen umbrellas, and we're going to have to do this fairly quickly. Literally, we could take a message probably on every one of these, but we're going to go through these things, and this is where you come in now. Okay, heart of obedience. This morning, I did my walk. I walk about 4 miles in the morning, and it's kind of my prayer time and exercise a little bit, and I had to go through these in my life, these 12. I was reviewing them and saying, okay, Holy Spirit, and there was four of them that I had to deal with on my walk this morning. Steve knows this. Whenever you're preparing a message, usually God has to deal with you first. And so I was putting stuff on the altar before the Lord on my walk this morning. So let me give you these things. And we're going to look at the life of Jesus and then take a peek. I'll either give you a little story or a little point on that, and then we'll move on. So the first one is relinquishing our rights to family. To family. Let me tell you something. And feel free to put this slide up there too. Relinquishing one's rights does not mean, so we're clear here, does not mean a lack of caring or taking responsibility for the people and things that are in your lives. The purpose of surrendering rights is not to become irresponsible. It's about having an attitude that's free to follow Jesus in obedience. It's living a palms-up life. So as we talk about these rights, it doesn't mean, well, I don't need to take care of my family and be responsible. It's not what it means. It means you're walking like this, palms up. Look at Jesus. Matthew 12, while he was still speaking to the people, behold, his mother and his brothers stood outside asking to speak to him. But he replied to the man who told him, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And stretching out his hand towards his disciples, he said, here are my mothers and brothers. Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Jesus viewed things. He had laid this down in such a way that he viewed things through a kingdom mindset. Does this mean he didn't love his mother? Of course we know. On the cross, we know he makes sure John's tending. We know that. His brother James wrote a book in the New Testament. So we know there was relationship there. But can I just be bold and just say this to us? I watch precious families who love Jesus make their children idols. When we have dedications, like in the next service, we've got three. What we're doing as parents is we're saying, I recognize I'm a steward of this life. It's not mine. And Jesus, I give this child back to you. Help me steward this life in a way that honors you. I love my children. I'd lay my life down for them. I love my grandson, Baron. He's already stolen my heart. But folks, it means laying down everything. Some of my missionary friends have said this to me, and I just want you to think about this for a minute. They've said, Dave, do you know the number one hindrance right now to mobilizing missionaries in our country? I said, what's that? They said, it's American parents, because they all want the American dream for their child rather than their child obeying Jesus. Wow. Have you given your family to the Lord? Again, this doesn't mean you don't care and doesn't mean you're not responsible, but it's an attitude. Remember, have this same attitude that Jesus had. It's a turning over. God, I relinquish my rights. What about marriage? I remember in December of 1977, I was 18 years of age, and someone had spoken one of those lay your life down for Jesus words, and I walked up, and I remember a man looked at me and said, Dave, there's two areas in your life before we pray for the Holy Spirit to come into your life. I know you love your family, and I know you want to be married. Are you willing to lay down that right to be married today? And I remember very deliberately, with my own choice, saying, God, if you want me to be single the rest of my life, and I wasn't, you know, Eeyore, I was as sincere as could be, God, why? Because I wanted to be free to follow Jesus in obedience. So those of you that are single today, have you laid down your right to being married? It doesn't mean that you can't want to be married. Don't get confused with your desire. Your Father knows your desire. But it's a right, because here's the secret, guys. Whatever rights you don't lay down drive you. And you need to understand that. And so, young ladies, if you're single and it's a, as my friend Aaron and Sonia used to say, whenever they'd see a good-looking guy, they'd go, now there's a fine image of God. So young ladies, when a fine image of God walks in who loves Jesus, and do you immediately go, oh, I wonder if he's the one? See, it can become not only something we're driven by, but it can become idolatrous. It's palms up. It's not hanging on. It's palms up. Does that mean you can't pray for him? No, of course you can pray for him. But it means you're not going to be driven by it. And by the way, when you get married, you lay down your rights to singleness. Hello? When we get married, we lay down our rights to being single. Yeah, but I used to. That's the key word there, used to. It's becoming one with your spouse. Relinquishing our rights to our family. This happens in Scripture. Abraham had to leave his father's house. Peter and Andrew, James and John, it says they had to leave their dad and the boats and their fishing careers to follow Jesus. It's not a right. It's a gift. So when the Lord one day showed me I was to marry Cheryl, that was not a right. That was a gift. There's an old saying that I don't hear anymore that I always liked. It was this: God gives the best to those who leave the choice to him. And let God choose. And let God choose not only the mate, but the timing. Relinquishing our rights to family. There's more we could go on there, but you get my point. Second one, friends. Relinquishing our rights to friends. Look at Jesus, Mark 14 in Gethsemane. And they all left him and fled. And a young man followed him with nothing but a linen cloth about his body. And they seized him, but he left the linen cloth and ran away naked. I just wanted you to see how fast they fled. Have you relinquished your rights to your friends? Well, what do you mean? We're supposed to be in community and have friends. Of course we are. It's not about doing it. It's an attitude of this. I'm not a wealthy man, but I feel extremely wealthy because of the friends God's put in my life. Right. I'm very, very grateful. It's the greatest gift I have, my family and my friends. But do you realize you can be so locked into a friendship that if Jesus is asking you to do this, you won't do it because your friend's not approving? Do you realize that there are seasons of your life where maybe this particular person is really large in your life as far as time and influence and all that, but now not so much, and you wrestle like, what happened? Did it go wrong? No. Sometimes we just have to relinquish the rights because times and seasons, God brings different people into our lives. As a 56-year-old, I'm delighted when I run into people who I knew when I was 20. Judd and Vicki Stevens, wave. They were in YWAM with me when I was 20. They've known me for 36 years. Friends. Of course, when we're younger, at times with our friends, we can make choices based on what they think. But have you noticed peer pressure doesn't stop after you get out of your 20s? Relinquishing our right to our friends. And none of this is Eeyore-ish. Okay, I'll do it, Dave. This is like, I want to be free to follow Jesus. So one of my buddies here, Dan Hammond, if the Lord just says, hey, Dave, you're to leave. You're not going to get to see Dan and Sherry as much anymore because you're going here. You know what? We'll stay in touch. We'll be purposeful to get together. But here's the other thing. I know I got this little thing called heaven that's going to last one long time. And so if for a few years, God says, I want you here and I want them there, guess what? He's already got that covered. How about this third one? Finances and possessions. Okay, Dave, you're getting a little close now. Look at Jesus, Matthew 8. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. There was a time in my life that was a transitionary time. You see, let me just say this first. When Jesus asks us to do something out of obedience, he's got three things in mind. One is he wants to reveal more of himself to you. Because he's always, do you know that? It's like he wants you to know him more. It's just like when I'm with my grandson, Baron. I want him to know me more. As he gets older, I want him to know, this is what Papa likes. This is what Papa likes to do. God, gazillion times, wants you to know him. And when he asks you to relinquish something, it's not like just relinquish and be Eeyore and oh, poor me. No, it's he wants to reveal something. He's pulling stuff out of your hand so he can fill it. He also uses it to build character in our lives so we become more like him. And he also is testing us to see if we're faithful in the small so we can give much. So in a transitionary time in my life, between roles that I was in, Cheryl and I had a couple of months of severance from the place where we were serving, and we felt like the Lord was transitioning us. We were grateful for that. But then when that 2 months was done, there was nothing. And I still had kids I was responsible for, and so Cheryl and I went to the Lord, and we said, Jesus, how do you want to provide for us? I had to relinquish my rights to how I was going to provide for my family. Say, Jesus, again, free to follow. I'm really free to follow you in obedience now. And I asked the Lord, how do you want to do this? How do you want to provide for my family? And the Lord showed me two things. I want you to raise some support from some people that are behind you. And then he said this, and I'm going to bring in money to your life as you're out speaking. And then here's what he said, hands tied behind my back, but you can't initiate anything. You can only take what I bring you. Okay, I want you to put that on for a minute. I went to a friend of mine who did this for a living when this season happened. I said, like, how long does it? He said, oh, it usually takes you a couple years to develop about 24 speaking things a year. But he said, didn't you say the Lord said you can't initiate, you can't tell your friends, hey, I said, yes. He said, well, don't know what'll happen with you then. But God wanted to reveal something of his heart for me. And I can testify to you, during about an 8-year span, every year, between 30 and 36 speaking things came to me that I never initiated, every year. God wanted to say, are you willing to trust me? Do you have your finances and possessions so like this that if God tried to pry your fists open, there's no way he'd get them open? See, remember, a steward, which is what we are in the kingdom, we're stewards of God's stuff. A steward tends their master's stuff. But we can be like this. And guess what? It causes us not to be free to follow Jesus. Here's where I see it. Hey, there's a missions trip coming up. And the first thing we do is look at our wallet to determine if we should go or not versus, Jesus, would you like me to go? Because what if he wants to provide for you in a way that makes you go blah, 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 blah? Because he does that and he likes doing that. But we can get stuck. Is there anything that you're so attached to that you're not willing to part with it? And again, like we said earlier, this can become an idol in our life. Let's do the fourth one. Popularity and reputation. Again, these are all pretty light topics, I know. Mark 3. And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem were saying about Jesus, he is possessed by Beelzebub, and by the prince of demons, he casts out the demons. They were ripping into to Jesus like this. Hey, the Bible says we're supposed to have a good reputation. So don't mishear me. We're supposed to, as far as it goes tending our lives, we're supposed to have a good reputation. But here's what I want you to understand. This, what I'm referring to, is a willingness to allow people to think what they may, but you are going to obey Jesus. That's what I'm talking about here. What if you knew a lack of sales would happen if you stepped out in obedience to Jesus? What if those of you that are in the music industry, Jesus asked you to write some songs or to speak out on some things? Are you willing to do that, or do you immediately, ooh, that's going to cut down on my sales? People aren't going to like me. They're not going to buy my stuff. Then what do I do? How am I going to take care of my family? See, this is why we have to relinquish and say, Jesus, I'm trusting in you. I had to wrestle this through back in February. We were starting our house of prayer here. I was very excited about that. And what's been happening on Tuesday nights, and I know many of you have had the privilege to jump in, and if you haven't yet, come. But you see, in December, my son and daughter-in-law came to Cheryl and I and said, hey, on Tuesday nights, our jobs are going to cross. Would you guys be willing to watch Barron? And we had made the decision in December to do that. Well, when this all started unfolding in January and February, I had to wrestle a little bit with this because it's like, I want to be here. And as a pastor, I want to be supportive of Steve. But I also had a little bit of wrestling with the fear of, man, well, if I'm not there, what are people going to think? And I had to lay that right down to be misunderstood. to stay committed to what we had agreed to do for Ryan and Kendall. And there's times in your obedience that you're going to be misunderstood. But if you hang on to that thing, oh, I got to guard, guess what? You're going to actually quench what God's trying to do. And there's times we have to lay down our right to our reputation and our popularity to be obedient, to follow through on the things we've committed to do. So that's just an example of something I had to wrestle with. Let's look at the fifth one. Time. Ooh. Time. Relinquishing our rights to our time. No, 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 that's mine. I got 24/7, 365. Don't tell me what to do with it. I'm not. But you might want to check in with Jesus on this. All right? Look at Jesus in Matthew 14. He withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Now when it was evening, meaning it had happened all day, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place. The day's over. Send them away so they can go get some food." Jesus said, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." Jesus had given out and given out, and here it's now evening, and you know, he could have said, yeah, good idea, let's just send them away. Relinquishing our rights to our time. I often tell people I'm discipling, have you asked the Lord how you should manage your time? He's a great time manager. Henry Blackaby tells the story of the business guy that looked at Henry and said, when Henry challenged him to have a quiet time in the morning, and he just said, "I don't have time to have a quiet time." And he says, "Well, obviously you don't know who you're meeting then in the morning, the creator of the universe." And the business guy finally got his life squared away and started getting up and having a time with the Lord every morning. And it was within that first month, Henry relays, that for the first time in his company, somebody had come to know Jesus. When you obey Jesus and you give him your time, he can do amazing things because that's the kind of God he is. Have you relinquished your time to God? Is one of the areas this morning that the Lord kind of poked his finger into my chest on. A particular thing I think he's asking of me that I need to sit down now and sort out and begin to implement. Your time, it says our times are in his hands. So have you asked him, "Lord, what do you want me to do with my time?" Because some of us are running around like chickens with our heads cut off, trying to be everything to everybody and be everywhere everyone's supposed to be. And we're, and no wonder you can't get up and pray. Because you're exhausted. The bed feels so good, you know. But I want to encourage you to ask Jesus about your time. Like, just ask him. Like, take an hour and say, "Jesus, here's my schedule. I relinquish my rights to it. I'm going to be responsible with my family and with my job." And remember, that's about, you still care and you still take responsibility. But it's an attitude of just saying, "What do you want?" Like, what if he says, "I don't want you to be watching television on any night except family night on Friday night. You guys can watch TV." Some of you are having heart attacks even as I'm saying that. But what if? What if? Relinquishing our rights to time, to let God dictate that. What have we missed out on because maybe we've not given God our time in the past? We've missed out on things that he's wanted us to be about. Forms of entertainment, all kinds of things. The thing I want you to do is just be aware of God's nudge. That's all. I want to raise the bar of you being aware of God's nudge. Because he's given us things to enjoy. So don't hear, "Dave's just a downer." No. He's given us stuff to enjoy. And he blesses us. And here's a little secret I've learned over the years. When you relinquish your rights, and I remember being in a prayer time one time, I don't remember how many years ago, I remember I was in Rochester, New York, and the Lord asked me to relinquish something. And here's what I also heard him say, "As you do this, I want you to trust me. I know your needs. I know your desires. I will take care of that." And can I tell you, he has way more than I could have ever dreamed. Because he's still my dad. He's my father in heaven. And so some of the surprises he's brought my way has just called me doing this. He's way better at doing that than me. But you got to be willing to say, "God, I just turn it all over to you. What are you saying to me?" And it's being aware of when the Lord says, "Nudge, nudge. I want to say something to you." I'm like, "Oh, okay. It's walking in that kind of freedom. You with me? The next one, food, shelter, sleep, and comfort. Uh-oh. Look at Matthew 4. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. What if Jesus wants to wake you up at night to pray? Well, that's just tough. I ain't doing it. What if he asks you to fast? Again, another heart attack happening in the room. But the Bible doesn't say, you know, if you fast, it says when you fast. It's supposed to be a part of our Christian walk. There's something powerful about fasting and prayer. It doesn't make you more spiritual in the eyes of God, but there's something God does. It's an amazing thing. But we'll never get to experience the blessing and treat of that, of watching God move through our lives if we're, no, I got to eat at this time. And if I don't have these kind of foods, and if I don't have 9.5 hours of sleep. And what about our comforts? Did you know that God is more about building your character than he is accommodating your comforts? We become a very, very comfortable people. And it's just relinquishing rights. You have a hard time going on mission trips if you can't relinquish your rights to these things. Because have you ever noticed, those of you that have gone, the food's not always the same. The sleeping conditions, the comfort factor, not so much. But he wants you to be free to follow him. Okay? All right, we're at the halfway point of the 12. Let me just show you this slide again. Remember, why do we relinquish our rights? So that his name can be above all of these things in our lives. So that we can focus on seeing knees bows and tongues confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so that God can be glorified through our lives. Just a reminder. All right, look at the seventh one here. Position, influence, career, gifts, ministry. Uh-oh. Dave, can't you just back off a little bit? Well, it's going to get better, all right? But look at this. Are you willing to relinquish rights to position? Jesus, we've already read about this, but look at Philippians 2. He did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant and becoming obedient. I've had to walk this through several times in my life, and it's not a fun thing. I remember when I was 25, and the Lord showed me after 7 years of being a youth with a mission missionary and people getting saved and discipled and all this on the Big Island of Hawaii, and Cheryl and I had met, and the Lord said, your time here is done. And I just wept. I didn't want it to be done. I was willing to be a lifetime missionary YWAMer dude, and the Lord said, no, it's done. And he took me on a journey in the local church. Had I not been obedient to that, I wouldn't have taken the local church route that he wanted to teach me. But I remember weeping. That was a little bit of, I didn't feel God having to pull my hands open, but he just kind of stood there and just waited till I could do this. And he gave me time. I had to do that when I planted a church called the Grace Community, and the Lord showed me I needed to lay down what we were doing and merge our church with Belmont Church. Lay down my right to be a senior pastor and to do this. There's times God will test us. Because again, if you don't relinquish this stuff, guess what it does? It drives you. Remember that? It drives you. How about this one? Number 8, nationality or denomination. Jesus in John 4, a woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink, for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Obviously, Jesus had laid down his rights in this area and his right of reputation of what would people think. Our heritages need to be celebrated. They need to be celebrated. God likes the various cultures that he's created. But one of the things that we have to realize is we can't just hang on to those. Sometimes we hang on to them like, well, I can get angry because I'm Irish. I can be loud because I'm Italian. I can be really organized because I'm Swiss. I can be prompt like a German. And we attach our nationality. And you guys, we have to be able to say, Jesus, thank you for how you made me. I received that. I'm going to celebrate it. But I'm also not going to let it just define me as the only thing I am. And the same thing goes with denominations. Some of you have grown up in a certain denomination in the body of Christ, and you need to let that thing go. Some of you have never been part of a church like this before. And you say, oh, I know what that means to let that go, because you've been walking it through. Let it go. See, again, why? So you're free to follow Jesus in obedience. Does it mean it's bad? No, none of these things are bad. But it's just being free to follow Jesus. Are you with me? That was kind of weak. Are you with me? All right. All right. Moving towards the home stretch here. Number 9, freedom. While he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a great crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign saying, the one I will kiss is the man. Seize him. And he came up to Jesus at once and said, greetings, Rabbi, and he kissed him. Jesus said to him, friend, do what you came to do. Then they came up and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. You know, when God calls you to certain nations, you have to relinquish your right to freedom. I had some friends who ministered in Russia when Russia was all closed up, and they were just having a prayer time, and they said, Lord, they knew they were to go to Russia, but they said, Lord, who do you want us to minister? Is it the body of Christ, the underground church? Is it the orphans? Who do you? And the Lord said, the KGB. Let's go to the Lord again on that one. And then the Lord showed them, I want you to minister the KGB. Well, how do you want us to do that? It's a good second question to ask. And he showed them. And what they did is they went into Red Square. And some of you were there when Lenin's body, you know, was laying there, and you could walk in and you could see it. And what they did is they took a flag and unfurled it outside and said, Jesus Christ is alive. And they had instant fellowship with the KGB. And that was the strategy the Lord gave them. And God did a work through their lives amongst the KGB. But you better believe, and they all left, God protected them, the whole deal. But sometimes the things God calls you to, you have to realize, I may have a certain permanent prison ministry in Russia. See, this is something as Americans, oftentimes we don't think about, relinquishing our rights to freedom. But something that Jesus did, and we need to recognize as well. The 10th one, opinions. Ooh, there's a rumbling in the crowd. Relinquishing our rights to our opinions. Look at Jesus. Again, you'll see Jesus as the example in all these. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, have you no answer to make? What is it that these men testify against you? But he remained silent and made no answer. We live in a culture where there's an explosion of opinions. And there are times that we need to learn to hold them. Have you relinquished your rights to your opinions? How about this one? I'm not talking about moral issues here, okay? Have you relinquished your right to being right? More couples have arguments over the right to be right. No, I'm right. No, you're wrong. I'm right. Yeah, but if I don't be right, look, sometimes, like I remember Lauren Cunningham when he was discipling as the founder of YWAM, how to minister to like Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons and different people. One of the things he modeled this, and then he made the statement. He said, see, you can win the argument but lose the person. And when you're dealing with the right to be right, you may win the argument, but you may have just lost your spouse or their trust for that moment. There are times I have to learn to do this. Because of my leader-teacher thing, I always have an opinion. And so sometimes the discipline of the Lord, that was one of the other ones this morning, finger in the chest on my walk. Just, there's times you just need to be quiet. Just because you have that opinion doesn't mean you're to deliver it. Now if the Holy Spirit says, and I've learned from leaders and have trusted the Lord, there are times when I'm in a meeting, I will be a little quiet because I'm just listening to what God's saying and doing what I'm learning. But there will be times I'll just have to say, Lord, if you want me to say something, have the leader point me out. That's my cue that the opinion needs to be shared. But I just want to encourage you, have you relinquished the right to sharing your opinion? Can I tell you, that's a hard one. But again, if you don't, it will drive you. The last two, number 11, hurt, disappointment, and unforgiveness. Some of you feel like, because I was so hurt, I was so disappointed, that you have the right to dwell in the land of unforgiveness. And it'll drive your life. It'll frame your future. Look at Jesus. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I was in under a leadership structure at one point where there was a lot of entitlement and a dishonoring culture of leadership. And I had to rehearse forgiveness because things were said and things were done that just weren't kind. But can I just tell you, Jesus died so you don't have to hang on to this stuff. You can be free to follow him. Offenses. Some of you are just, you know, I spoke a couple years ago on not picking up an offense. And some of us, it's like we're so quick to be offended. Jesus told us not to pick up offenses. But I have a right to be offended. Well, it all depends on the perspective you're looking at it through. Again, if you hang on to that right, it will drive your life and it will frame your future, and you don't want that. The final one is your future. Jesus in Luke 22, and he withdrew from them about a stone's throw in Gethsemane and knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will but yours be done." And there appeared to him an angel from heaven strengthening him, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. Have you ever thought about, I know we think of Jesus, the Son of God, as he knows he's going to the cross. He knows he's going to be dying for people's sins. But what if also, and I don't know this, but what if also in his 100% God, 100% man is, like for me, I'm going to trust the Father that when I lay this down, he's going to raise me. You ever been around that mountain? Jesus' future, he laid down his rights to that, trusting that the Father would raise him. Have you got your fist so tight around your future? What if God has an adventure for you that you haven't even dreamed of yet? But have you so locked it down that you're not free to follow after Jesus? Let me give you, Jonathan, feel free to make your way back up. Let me just give you a couple cues revealing unrelinquished rights. Here's three things that I have found over the years that are cues for me, that when they cross my will, one of the first things you want to train yourself, say, okay, is there a right here I'm hanging on to? It's these three: anger and bitterness. When you have a flash of anger, it's usually because someone, you know, crossed your will, and your rights just got violated, my entitlements. When that begins to happen, you need to pay attention because you might be doing this a little bit too much. The second one is self-pity. Self-pity. Why do you have self-pity?
Because I felt entitled and I didn't get my way.
And some of us can go right into self-pity. And we feel sorry for ourselves. Well, I should have been there, but instead they're taking my... And the third one is control, which also can function in manipulation, where we manipulate people and circumstances so we get our way. When you run into those three things, you need to be on alert that you may be grasping a little too tight. And that's a cue for you to pay attention. Are you free today to follow Jesus in obedience? What does this look like, healthy? Can I just submit to you three things? Like, what is the healthy side of this looks like? First of all, it looks like this. Palms up. Jesus, you've given me my children, my wife, my grandson. I'm going to so tend them. I'm going to love them. I'm going to lay down my life. Do what the scripture says. I'm going to tend them well. But my palms are up. I'm not doing this. Palms are up. That's what Jesus did. Secondly, you abound in thankfulness. God, thank you so much. It was my 56th birthday the other day, and I got to spend the day with Baron. 11 hours, and I just had fun with my grandson. And I was able to leave that day just saying, thank you that this year on my birthday I have a grandson. And I abounded in thanksgiving. I was not due that. That was not a right I've earned or deserve. This is kindness. And so I can respond in gratefulness, with palms open, with gratefulness. And the third thing is steward the areas of obedience that God's given you. So if he's told you to start a company, steward that company well in the things of God, in the ways of God. But always like this, you say, God, I just want you to know That's how we walk in it in a healthy way. Let's just go to that, the last slide here. So here's the questions for the day. One more. Is there one more slide? There we go. Okay, there's your list. There's your list. I'm going to ask you today, what is it that the Lord is asking you to do? Is your heart unattached, fully yielded and available to Jesus? Are you free to follow him in obedience? Let me ask you this question. Are you more focused on your rights than obeying Jesus? Like in this message, what have you been more concerned about? My rights or, oh, I need to be free to obey the Lord? Kind of shows you the pull that can be there. And finally, what right or rights is it today that you may need to relinquish? For me this morning, it was reputation, it was time, it was hurt, it was opinions. So on my walk today, I moved from this to palms up. Just said, God, I just give you that. And then I abounded in thanksgiving for a while in each of those things. And I just said, now God, just show me how you want me to steward that. So I'm doing it according to your heart and your ways. See, this frees us as a people to obey the Lord when it's time to take on the things of society. Otherwise, it gets all enmeshed and confused. So here's what we're going to do is we're going to close. I just want to make kind of the top part here of the platform like an altar. And Jonathan plays, sings. You know, it might be you need to tear something off in your bulletin and write it down. It might just be you don't have anything to write with. That's fine. Just kind of imagine it in your hand and put it here. But just before we say goodbye and pray a blessing over you, I want to give you an opportunity to leave today a little bit lighter. And if so, the Holy Spirit spoke something to you today and you're going, wow, there was this one, or maybe there was 10. I just want to invite you to lay it down and to walk out of here today saying, God, I'm going to walk palms up on this area. I'm going to steward it well, and I'm going to abound in thankfulness. So as I pray, I just want to invite you to respond. If you need to kneel for a minute, that's fine. If you just need to come here and place it and be on your way, that's fine. But sometimes we need a deliberate act to be able to make it real. And so instead of leaving with your hands in your pockets just as you came in, let's leave with our palms up. So Jesus, today, we just as we wrap up, we want to apply your word. We don't only want to be hearers, but we want to be doers. And your word tells us that those who heard your word and did them were like people who built their houses on the rock. And when storms and everything comes, it stood. But those who heard and did not obey were those that built their homes on sand. And when the storms came, it crashed down. But we want to be a people that hears and obeys. So just feel free to respond to the Lord as you like. Jonathan, lead us a song and we'll close here in just a few minutes.
Jesus, take me.
Jesus, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you that we have been born for such a time as this. Lord, we thank you that you want to pour out your love, your truth, your power through your body in unprecedented ways, and you're giving us the privilege to be a part of that. Lord, we just want you to know we don't want any rights, perceived rights, that we think we have to hinder us from obeying you. And so, Lord, today we lay these things before you. And we give them to you. And Lord, I just would ask that as we go, you would teach us how to walk as stewards, to tend excellently the things you've given us to tend. Help us, Lord, to walk with more of a deliberate attitude of palms up. I don't own this thing, but I steward it well for the glory of God. Help us, Lord, to abound in thanksgiving for the kindness of the gifts that you give us in all these areas and more that we looked at today. So, Lord, we give you thanks. Lord, would you do a work in us as a flock, that we'd be a people that are free to follow Jesus in obedience in the days ahead. In Jesus' name. Would you just stand with me? Thank you for not being spectators today, but being willing to really lean in. That's something we need to do every time the word is opened. I want to just pray you out with the blessing that I grew up hearing. It's my favorite out of number 6. May the Lord bless you and keep you. And may the Lord make his face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. Have a good day today. Bless you.